So beautifully did we just see Butch show our children the power of our words and the power that God's love has for us, that it can infect us, that it can change us in ways that we can see and in ways that we cannot see. The image that we got so beautifully earlier during our Sunday school class was the image of a tree. And this image shows up as well today in our sermon and in our scripture. This image of a tree that stands tall and beautiful, but underneath that tree, it is rooted and grounded in something deep, in something that sustains, in something that grounds and holds. And so let us hear today our scripture from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Since I've heard these words, I've been struck by them. The idea of being rooted and grounded in love, that God's love roots us and grounds us. It holds us, plants us into the ground, strengthening our base so that we can grow as tall in trees and can withstand winds and storms. That is powerful. Comprehending with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. I love that line. Imagining the dimensions of God's love. Eugene Peterson translates it a little bit differently. He writes, "And I ask God that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the depth, the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God." Both these versions of our scripture explore the extravagance of God's love, the abundance, love that is beyond bounds and measurements, that still we are invited to try to wrap our heads around. Our scripture from Ephesians is a prayer, and it serves as a hinge for the book of Ephesians. Before this passage, the writer describes what God has done, breaking down walls of hostility, loving us, sending God's Son, Jesus. After this, we are told what we are called to do in response to God's abundant love and grace, how we are called to lead a life worthy of the calling which we have been called to. This prayer sums it all up, telling us of God's abundant love, reminding us we are strengthened inside by God, how God accomplishes far more than we can ask or imagine. Yet in order for Christ to dwell in our hearts, for us to experience God's love rooting us, we have to do something too. Open our hearts and minds to God's love. This week at Vacation Bible School, we explored the dimensions of God's love with the second installment of Abundance Orchard. Abundance isn't a word we normally use with children, but they see abundance more easily at work often than we do. Abundance means there's more than enough. There's plenty, but there's more than plenty. There's an extra bit. It's overflowing. Over and over in Scripture, God gives abundantly. God gives far more than is necessary for the situation, and far more than we can imagine. It's amazing to watch children come to the first day of VBS, especially their first time. They're nervous, unsure. They're quiet and meek. But by the end, they have opened themselves up to the experience. And how much fun, what joy, what abundance they find. Our world, though, teaches and preaches a myth of scarcity, that who we are and what we have done is not enough, and so we must hoard and hide. There's not enough unless we push our way to the top. It preaches it through glamorous pictures on social media that hide imperfections and shortcomings in our lives. It comes through media and advertisements. If you don't have the big modern house or the second house, the car, if your child doesn't go to the right school or wear the right clothes, or they don't have the right toys, then you aren't enough. If we don't make the grade, get the big promotion or the affirmations, we are not enough. In this world of scarcity, we can often feel empty. In our scrambling for more, it's hard to see what we actually have. But Ephesians and the whole of Scripture tells us this myth of scarcity is a blatant lie. We are not rooted and grounded by having more stuff. We're not rooted and grounded by what we do. We are rooted and grounded in God's love because we are children of God. We are enough because of God's extravagant love, and that grace is unimaginably large, and that makes us enough, and what we have more than enough. In fact, God gives us more than enough to share. Children know this fact of God's abundance. They relish in it. They find joy in the simple pleasure of getting caught in a rainstorm, a new pencil, cowboy boots, spending time with someone they love, and sharing. One of my favorite moments this week was watching preschoolers from the Goodwill Easter Seals during story time. This week, a few of our youth and I went over to sing songs and tell stories from Vacation Bible School. As an afterthought, we brought some drums for Brian Ayers to share. You could have seen the smiles on those children's faces getting to play a congo. It was something each of them could do. You saw such joy, excitement, such abundance. Sure, children can throw tantrums in the grocery store because they want a candy bar. But at their core, they see abundance and joy in small moments and can help us to see clearly too. So can Scripture. Over and over, Scripture teaches us about the dimensions of God's love. And so you might wonder, in this world of scarcity, how do we see the breadth of God's love? Consider the breadth of creation. God creates all kinds of things, from the tiniest of insects and molecules to mountains as large as Everest and animals as big as elephants. The abundance of creation that is so vast, they're still finding new animals in Mobile Bay. And the story of creation could have ended on the sixth day, but instead on the seventh, God rests. God ends creating the world with abundant rest. Reach out and experience the breadth as you step out of this sanctuary and look outside. Look at the sidewalk and see the life teeming right underneath our feet. It is so vast, it's hard to attain. Yet we still might wonder, in this world of scarcity, what is the length of God's love? It is longer than our eyes can see, longer than a string wrapped around our world, longer than time and space can tell. It's long enough that God gave two people named Abraham and Sarah a crazy promise. God asked them to leave their homeland, to go to a land that God would show them. And God showed them the stars and the sky. God promised them that that would be how large their descendants would be. Abraham was already an old man when he heard this promise, 75. But the length of God's love is longer than we often trust and believe. And so after Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100, they finally had a child. A child of promise and of blessing. God's love is so long, they could not truly see this promise to fruition. They did not see the multitude of descendants. They did not see God's love that followed their descendants through slavery into freedom, through exile and forced immigration back home again, through hardships, betrayal, suffering into hope and life. They did not see how God's love came into this world in the person of Jesus. Yet they saw a piece of this cord of God's love wrapped around our world. Still, you might wonder, in these times of scarcity, how do we see the height of God's love? It's high enough to pull a tax collector named Zacchaeus out of a tree so that Jesus could have lunch with him. It is high enough to reach us, even in our presumptions and assumptions, to bring us down so that we can share who we are and what we have with each other. Still, you might wonder, in our fears of scarcity, how do we see the depths of God's love? We see the depth of God's love and how far God is willing to go, that God was willing to become human, to share in our lives and in our suffering, that even after Jesus died, he comes back. He appears to his disciples, showing them the power of resurrecting love, how God's love overcomes death. After Jesus dies, he appears on a seashore to his disciples. They had been fishing all night and hadn't caught a single fish. Jesus tells them to try to cast the nets on the other side, and they catch 153 fish. Why so many? Why this abundance? And not only that, after they come ashore, he has bread and fish already ready and cooked. Over and over, our God provides more than enough, filling us up when we are empty. You might think, well, I don't see that abundance in my own life. I can't see these measurements of God's love. I only see empty nets, empty bank accounts after days and days of fishing. I only see the fragments of my life that have been shattered. I only see problems all around. Friends, you are not alone. The letter to the Ephesians was not written to a perfect people without problems. It was written to people like us, whose lives were in fragments and needed sorting. Know that in the midst of difficulty, pain, and suffering, God's love is there. God's abundance is there. Wait for it. And when it comes, have the eyes to see, hearts that are open to receive it. Maybe God's abundance looks like getting out of bed on a dark day. Maybe God's abundance is a hug from a friend, a smile from a stranger, a good cup of coffee. Maybe it's hopeful words on a billboard or written in a letter. It's not always exactly what we hope for or expect, but it's people to lean on during difficult times. Maybe it's the endurance to keep going, knowing that if we can't see God's abundance now, we will wait for it, hope for it. We may not see abundance in everything, but know that our God is a God of abundance, and that love, hope, and resurrection will come. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.